Take this time to truly greet each other. Yes, a little bit higher, a little bit more. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. Truly, this is a blessed day. You know, there's a few holidays that really get my juices going. You know, I'm like really get juices going. One is the summertime. I know the summertime isn't a holiday, but it kind of is for me because this is like the time where you guys, those of you guys who aren't traveling all over the place, we're going to spend a lot of intentional time together because now I have you. You guys aren't in school anymore, so I will have you, and we're going to have lots of fun. So I always look forward to summertime. We have our retreats. We have all this extra time with one another, so I'm really excited about that. Christmas is always another one of these great and fun times, and we get to enjoy this time. It's always a celebration. We get to share. We give presents, and we have lots of fun. We have the gift exchange over here, too. But today, more than any other day, is on the Christian calendar, can be no other greater special day than today. As we will see, today's Bible verse we'll look at, it's in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to just look at verses 6 through 7 today. Luke chapter 24, verses 6 through 7. You guys will open up your Bibles. All right, Luke chapter 24, verses 6 through 7. How about we do this? I'll read verse 6 and you guys read verse 7. Can we do that together? Yes? Okay. Amen? Okay. All right, and the Bible says, "He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee." Amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for today. We thank you, God, that you have called us to this place, that CCIC Tri-Valley is our home, that we can worship you, that we can get to know you, Father, that we can see your presence in our lives. God, I thank you for all our brothers and sisters here, Father, for you have called us to be here today, that we can witness to one another, that we can celebrate this day, Father. For this day is the most holiest of days, that this day is the most powerful of days as a Christian, as a believer, Lord. So I pray that you would instill into us this power and this passion that you gave us, Father, that was on the cross, that was on Calvary. And as sad as that day was when you sacrificed yourself, we understand new life and new rebirth and regeneration, Father, through the resurrection. And Father, that's why today, more than any other day, is a day that we want to recognize, Lord. We want to recognize who you are, because without the promise fulfilled, Lord, we would truly be nothing. So God, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your grace that you give us on the cross. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would help us, Father, to know you, to love you, to embrace you for everything that you are. That you're not just some far-off God in a far-off place, Lord, but that you have conquered death and that you're alive and well and living in our hearts. God bless us today. Help us to understand what salvation is to us. Help make this a personal thing for us today, Lord. We thank you for your mercies. We love you, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I was saying, today more than any other day is the greatest day in Christian history, right? Because today is called, what is it?
Easter.
Thank you very much. So today is supposed to be a day of joyous celebration. It's supposed to be a happy day. But also, amen. Yay! Can we get a yay? All right. Amen. Today is the most holiest day of the year. Absolutely. And there is no other holiday on the Christian calendar that means more to us or has more significance in our faith. In fact, it can be said it this way. if the events that didn't happen some 2,000 years ago, this Christian movement, this new way of faith, would never have been. In fact, the annals of history would look at Christianity to be one complete joke. Right? Everyone would look at us like, you guys are crazy. What are you talking about resurrection? What comes back from the dead? It's some crazy things that we're talking about. But you see, we have a God that is powerful. We have a God that controls life, controls death, has everything in the palm of his hands. And he had the Savior come to us, our Redeemer, to keep his promise. And that's what we're going to look at today. First, we're going to look at the resurrection. We're going to look at how this promise kept us and kept the whole world. And then we'll look at what salvation is, what it means to actually have salvation, what it means when the Bible says that the veil torn to be light in darkness. But before we get into that, I want to share something about you, about my childhood and my Easters. I used to love Easter. Even as a little kid, they get us hooked. I never understood where the Easter bunny or Easter egg came from, but all I know is I loved it. Because that was my source of chocolate. Right? We're going to have some Easter egg hunts. I hope you get to enjoy some of this fun egg hunting thing too. It's lots of fun because not only do you get lots of candy and all these things, but you get to see everyone celebrate. You guys can't do it? Oh, I'm so sorry. That's not fair. See, we got to change that. Because when I was a youth, in our youth group, we got to do Easter egg hunts too. We'll change that next year. Maybe we got to organize ourselves, but we'll see. But one of the greatest things about growing up, and you know, because I went to church at Wildlife Baptist, you know, when I was probably like 6 or 7 years old, all the way till I was maybe like, you know, freshman in college. You know, I went to Wildlife Baptist, and that was my home church. And the one thing, you know, there were several things that really made church fun. But Easter was always one of these greatest celebrations. There was always decoration. There was all these beautiful things. We did the Path of Passion. And the cross in our church was something interesting. There's always a light that was shining on it. But on Good Friday, we put a black light to it. So it was darkened. And it would be dark. And it would stay dark until Easter Sunday. And that's when we put this brilliant light on it. And that's what gave us joy. And the reason why I'm mentioning all of this is because Easter stands out so vividly in the past. We had a huge wooden cross as well, right in the middle of the foyer as you walked into the church. And on this cross were all these empty holes. And I remember throughout Sunday, everyone would feel depressed and sad. And as the week went on, we would put in a different rose or a different flower in each little hole on that cross. See, the significance of this was so great that it gets me to think about even what we do now. Because those Easter Sundays were so vivid. It was such a good place. You know, it didn't matter whether you were young or old. You could just walk into the church and actually place a flower in there and recognize what Jesus has done. It was a solemn moment. It was a real moment where we recognize it for ourselves. And then I think about these holes even today. How these holes could easily represent empty tombs. When the women arrived, how sad they must have been, as we read in the previous to our verses 1 to 3. It must have been sad. It must have been depressing. And then we see the promise fulfilled in verses 4 through 7. The two angels appeared, and they told the truth about the resurrection. And how blessed those women must have felt at that moment. How emotionally charged they must have felt when the old cross in the church was filled with flowers. It parallels with the same events, or at least to me, because it's the idea of light overcoming darkness. Because we need to understand this is what it's all about. If Jesus had not fulfilled his promise, the gospel story, yes, is a story of friendship, love, and sacrifice. It's a story of I love you and I want you to be with me, yes. But the thing that we need to understand is this gospel story is a story held together by a promise. Could you imagine what these disciples must have felt? For the past 3 years, they spent every waking moment with Jesus. Literally, from the time they woke up, eye boogers and whatnot, and wake up, say, hi, Jesus. Hi, disciple. And every waking moment, spending every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month for 3 years. And as they played with him, you know, Jesus told them the story many a times. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you. Over and over again, he tells them this. But they didn't quite understand. Could you imagine how they felt on Calvary on that Friday when all the Jews came, especially Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And on that Good Friday and all that pain and all that suffering and that realization, everything Jesus said was truth. And looking at this narrative, you can tell where the disciples' heart were. They were in despair. The very person that they had been following every day of their lives for the past 3 years had been physically taken away from them. When Jesus says, I am God, they believed it 100%. But when he was taken away, they were scared. How can God be taken away? And they forgot. They forgot. But do you understand what's going on here? We all take the resurrection too lightly. You guys got to understand, if Jesus hadn't kept that promise of faith, our faith is literally nothing. For those 3 years, Jesus followed, the disciples followed him and said, follow me and I will show you the way. But they forgot. And for those 3 days when Jesus disappeared, they forgot. A lot of times we forget too what Jesus has done for us. A lot of times too we forget the calling that he has given us. And that's when we come to this place of realization. And we come, but we never want that, right? We never want that Peter moment when we feel bad because of the things that we didn't do. And that's why it's so great that Jesus doesn't count on us, but we can lean on Jesus. Because as Jesus called his disciples for those 3 years, he calls us too in our lives. In fact, God is calling you right now. When we're lost, he calls us. When we have questions, he calls us. When we have doubt, he calls us. But all of this means nothing, right, if Jesus didn't have this resurrection. You guys need to understand that. We would have a great philosophy, right? A great way of living, but it has no power. 1 Corinthians 15 says it this way, and if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, then we are all people most to be pitied. He's talking about people who live their lives for earth right now. You guys got to understand, everything about our faith, everything that we believe in, all hinges on a single promise. And the question is Jesus truthful? Can we really trust him? Now, we've all had promises that were broken, and we've been disappointed time and time again. For example, last week Saturday, yesterday I told Keone, hey, we're going to go to Boomers. And he loves Boomers. He loves playing video games and laser tag and drives the car too. But I told him, sorry, son, we took too late. We were too busy this afternoon. I'm sorry, and we couldn't go. You know how sad he was? And he was crying and he was moping around the house. And man, he was just tough to deal with. It was the worst. So you guys all understand when we are disappointed by a promise. We've all been there. Our moms or dads have told us one time or another something that didn't come through. Or we've all had expectations that weren't met and that didn't come true. And we get very, very disappointed with very, very minimal consequences. But you got to understand something about this promise. This promise is not just, oh, you know, something good happening or something bad happening. We're talking about eternity here. The promise that Jesus makes, if he says that I'm going to be raised from the dead in 3 days, if he didn't do that, you know what that means? Everything that he said was a lie. Why do we have power? Why does the Christian faith all hinge on this idea of resurrection? Because it's natural for humans to live and to die. It's supernatural from death to come back to life. But this is the Christian story. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ goes through this. That's what baptism is all about. We recognize our death in Jesus Christ and our new life with him. That's when we come out of the water. That's the payoff. This is what it's all about. This is what Christianity is. We wouldn't have any kind of salvation. Nothing. Let's contemplate this. Without Jesus and without what he did, we would just be a group of people just talking about good things and good feelings. But why makes us so different than any other faith or any other religion? Because we do have someone that was from heaven, came to earth, and returned back to heaven. And our hope and our joy is when Jesus comes back from heaven. And we'll have new creation, new heaven, new earth, and all the promises of Revelations. But this, if Jesus disappointed in this, our faith is literally nothing. Absolutely nothing. You guys got to understand that. On Good Friday, we had the celebration of the Seder. And how many of you guys were here for that? Oh, it was pretty cool, actually. So great. So then you guys will understand. I'll try and explain for those who weren't here. So the whole Seder thing is recognizing the Passover in a Jewish person's life and how important the significance is, right? And how when they were in the bonds of Egypt, right, the angel of death would come over Egypt and kill all firstborn, right? But because of the Passover, you put the lamb's blood on your doorposts, the angel of death would just fly over and just pass over your home, right? But the whole thing about the Jewish tradition is you needed a blood sacrifice. That's why they always had temple. But after the temple fell in AD 70, as it was taught, there was no way to do any more sacrifices. But sacrifices are your only means of atonement. How can you get forgiven of your sins if you can't make sacrifices? And that's one of these things that was remembered. So before in the Seder, they partook in the lamb. They actually ate the lamb. The lamb that was slaughtered in the temple was actually used as food in the Seder meal. Okay, but since the temple fell, there's no more any of that. And all it is just a remembrance. They get the shank bone, the leg bone. Okay. And it's just a bone. It's just a remembering. This is what we used to do. We used to have forgiveness of sin. We used to have these things. Okay? But now we don't have them anymore because there is no temple. And they're always in this question of, man, well, how do we forgive ourselves? Well, then the rabbis got together and they said, well, you need to pay alms. You need to do good things and, you know, be in service and all these kinds of other things. But really, that's not the truth, because Old Testament says directly, right? It is only through a blood sacrifice. You guys got to understand what this means. There is no more forgiveness of sins, okay? And that's why this idea of Jesus was so important. You guys got to understand, there was no way to connect with God anymore. There is no way of understanding who God is anymore. There's no way of making peace with God. There's no more God in the Holy of Holies anymore. In fact, God is not there anymore. The whole Jewish world was torn upside down. But then Jesus came along and he says, I am the Messiah. You know, there's something really interesting to understand about this idea, the light and the darkness of the world and what it means. All the things that happened at Calvary. Do you remember what the narrative says in the Bible? When Jesus, when he finally took his last breath, and he says, "Into your hands I give my will." And he breathed his last breath, right? That's the narrative goes, right? But then as that narrative goes, what happened in the temple? Do you guys remember? What happened? Do you understand the significance of that action right there? Why that's so important? Yes. Amen. Very good. Luke 23, 44 through 46 says it this way. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn. And when Jesus cried out in a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last breath. I want us to do an experiment. Everyone close your eyes. Close your eyes as tight as you can. As tight as you can. As tight as you can. See, the Bible talks about darkness. Even with your eyes closed right now, you guys can sense some sense of element of light or ambient light. But you guys got to understand what the Bible is talking about right now. Imagine yourselves walking at night. No sense of elements of lights, right? No sense of, you know, even if your eyes being adjusted. When the Bible says that darkness fell upon the earth for 3 hours, right? There was no light whatsoever. Complete and absolute darkness. Open your eyes. Could you imagine that kind of panic, that kind of fear? What must have been on everyone's mind at that time? Not just the people at the cross crying out for Jesus because he died. I'm talking about everyone there, everyone in that area. They couldn't see their hands, they couldn't see their face, no sense of light of anything. Complete and utter darkness. Every one of these people must have thought, what would you think? It's the end of the world. Oh my goodness, this is the end. We're dead. It's final. And in fact, the Bible talks about, in the Jewish tradition, you know, the temple is the most sacred of all places. And it says the temple veil was torn in two. You guys got to understand, what Jesus did was that being that sacrificial lamb of the Seder. That missing piece that was gone long, long ago. What that torn veil represents is now there is no separation between God and man. Anyone can come to me. Jesus died on the cross. That gave us direct access to God because of his sacrifice. See, sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from all the people of God. Sin separates us even from ourselves, who we were meant to be. But see, Jesus took the sins upon the world, and he paid that incredible debt on Calvary. For you, me, for everyone. All for one time. Because you guys got to understand, in the Jewish tradition, every year they had to make a sacrifice. Every year they had to atone for their sins. But Jesus was the once for all sacrifice. Now the new light in a world of darkness of sin. And today, and every day, we can experience this. We can experience this redemption by what the Lord has sacrificed. See, this is no mystery. This is not a hard thing to do. You guys heard this story time and time again. The question is, are you going to respond? On this day, when we recognize what Jesus has done, what are you going to do with your lives? Are we going to be passive and stay in our seats and be comfortable? Or are we going to recognize what Jesus is truly calling us to do? A life of righteousness, a life of walking in his light, to truly be the salt of the earth. You know why I love that idea of salt? That means you got flavor. And each and every one of you got mad flavor. All of you guys have something to give. Every one of you guys have a talent to give. And that's what it means. It is only when we understand that the forgiveness is simple. All we need to know is that Jesus is the Son of God. And that he died on the cross for us. And that he paid our sin of debt. And as we confess with our tongues, and we say, Lord, not just with our mouths that we follow you, but we want to dedicate our lives to you. And we confess all of these things. And that's why we have this relationship with God. We don't have to pretend that I'm something that I'm not. I go through it a lot of days of my life, especially when I meet new people, because I want to be a perfect witness for Jesus Christ. So I try to talk to them in such a way that they understand. But that's what it is. Every day we get to experience this because of our confessions. We change. We become more like him. And that's where we are today. Because here at CCIC, this is what it's all about. These are the promises that we stand on together. Because without Jesus Christ, there is nothing. Without the resurrection, there is no life after death. And that's why I'm going to close with this one last thing. I am so honored. And I am so blessed that on this Easter Sunday, that I get to announce something that's very near and dear to my heart and why I became a pastor and why I serve and why I do everything that I do. I'm so blessed. So if I call your name, please stand up. I'm going to start to cry. Javen, will you please stand up? Sophia, will you please stand up? Anthony, will you please stand up? Elaine, will you please stand up? Tim Chen, will you please stand up? And Jonah Wei, will you please stand up? Will you give our brothers a warm round of applause? So you look around us. Our brothers and sisters here have called out to Jesus Christ, and Jesus has called out to them. And I highly encourage every one of you guys on this coming Sunday that we would be able to celebrate and come together in baptism. This is them making this dedication, this call for life. When we recognize who Jesus is in our lives and we accept his gift of life, our sins are ours no more. And that's what the resurrection is all about. Because without that, there is no forgiveness of sin. Pray with me. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word, God. We thank you, God, that you would love us in such a way that you would make the cross powerful in our lives. Father, without this truth of the cross, Lord, that we really have nothing to show for in our faith. But Father, that you were the author and you are the redeemer and you were the one who did everything for us in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we thank you. We also thank you for our brothers and sisters who have made this pledge to follow you and to be baptized. And Father, I just pray that you would instill into us, Father, on this Sunday, all the things you would do, Father, is for your glory because of the things that you have done to Jesus Christ in his death on Good Friday and especially in his resurrection today on Easter Sunday. Bless us, Father, and keep us today. We love you. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.